Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please hold on. The Honorable Mr. David Neal will be chairing the hearing, so just hold on, and he will be with you very shortly, sir.
Okay.
Are you here on behalf of the victim or on behalf of Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones.
Okay. The check mark was for the victim, so I want to clear it up.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, Mr. Jones. You have some supporters in the audience here. We're just getting that straight out.
Okay.
And you both want to speak?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Jones, can you state your civil name and ABC number for the record, please?
Mr. Joe Nathan Sandy Jones, 104301.
Thank you, sir. You approved for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency today in regards to a board hearing. Let me introduce the board members and connect to your hearing. We have the Honorable Lincoln Ellis, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. The Honorable Gary Rittenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Mayer, and I'll be your panel chair today.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go through some information about your case. As well as you will check to see if it sounds correct or not. We have a pattern given to us, and that's all we have to go on sometimes. The information is not always exactly correct, so we'll have to check that. Okay, and as we go through that, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk to the board, so we can get to know you, and then we'll have your supporters speak on your behalf, and at that time, we'll probably be able to go into the discussion to make decisions there.
Okay.
All right, so you're currently 42 years old.
Yes, sir.
And serving a life sentence for first degree murder. The offense occurred on February 12, 1983, and you were convicted by a jury. Originally, they were allowed for a 7.5-year concurrent sentence for attempted armed robbery, a 2.5-year concurrent sentence for first degree burglary, 2.5-year concurrent sentence for kidnapping, and a 7-year concurrent sentence for conspiracy to commit armed robbery. And all those sentences have expired at this time, so all that's left is the big one, the murder charge.
Okay.
All right? Okay. You keep going on on March 21st, 2018. I couldn't read my writing. And you're certified for this hearing, which is for general fraud, unrest, or active discharge on October 21st, 2017.
Okay.
This is your first time in front of the board. And let's see. You were 17 years old at the time of the offense. And you were tried as an adult, and you served 25 years in prison at this point on these charges. You were convicted on January 26, 1994.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And although you were only 17 at the time of this offense, you would have had quite a few contacts with the authorities, arrests for auto theft, robbery, endangerment, weapon violations, all of the juvenile. However, the charges have been filed.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, your disciplinary record is minimal, but it does include rioting, fighting, disobeying, and promoting prison contraband.
Yes, sir.
And we have one violation in the last 5 years, and that was a major for promoting prison contraband, and that was April 29th of 2014, so about 4 years ago. So that actually is pretty commendable overall. You don't have a whole lot of programming, but you also understand that depending on where, if you're with a life, you don't get the opportunity to do a whole lot. But in the program they do have, you have taken substance abuse programming, and you've done a pre-release program twice now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so those are all very good choices. Now, we don't have any other support in the packet, but we have two supporters here in the audience today. And according to your release plan and progress report, you have family in the Phoenix area that supports you, and that's obvious because they showed up today. You want to reside with your agency mother so you can care for her, but she lives back east and will have to be moved to Phoenix area for that to happen.
Yeah.
And you plan on, you know, when you work, if you also want to do community service.
Yes, sir.
Once you're released, but I take it that's for trying to help convince some of the other people out there not to do what you did and try to stir out trouble.
Yes, sir.
That's all the committee. And it usually seems that they listen to people that have been through the process more than they listen to people that haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know that there's a lot of opposition from Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated April 9th, 2018. Okay, so all the last ones to check at that point, right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give you an information about the offense, and then we will give you an opportunity to talk to us and let the board get to know us.
Okay.
So, seeing on February 12, 1993, at about 1:35 a.m., there were four in an apartment of Savannah Jones, and we had masks and bananas covering your faces, and you weren't gloves. And your plan was to commit a robbery. One of the co-defendants took the victim's roommate into the hallway. And then another one of the co-defendants went into the bedroom for money and drugs.
Yes, sir.
And this co-defendant was holding the victim down, and you were sitting on top of her, hitting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then one co-defendant came out of the bedroom, pushed you off the victim, and she laid down on top of her, and a shot was fired, tried to hit him in the chest. All the four of you co-defendants ran out of the apartment, and the victim died 4 days later from the injuries.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, since on January 26, 1994, you were found guilty by a jury of the five counts, and it looks like co-defendant Conway was convicted or was charged with counts 1, 2, 4, November 12, 1993, she had a plea of guilty to an admitted count 1 of aggravated assault. And apparently she turned state witness and testified against those three co-defendants.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then co-defendant Friendly and co-defendant Russell were found guilty of all five of them. And sentencing hadn't been done by the time this pre-sentencing report was made, but I imagine if they were found guilty by a jury, they were sentenced to a similar time as you. Okay, sir. Since you've not been so good to many of us are familiar with you, don't know you, would like to get to know you a little better. What I'd like you to do is tell us what was going on in your mind and everything with this robbery and robbery went bad and turned into a murder. Tell us what was going on. Tell us about the offense itself. So what was going on in your life and your mind at the time?
Okay, at the time I was 17, and even though I knew better, but I didn't. And first I would like to apologize to the victim's family for taking that woman away from her kids and her mother and her father. I'm so sincerely sorry for that incident, what happened. And it hurt so bad to hear that woman got killed. We didn't mean to kill her, but it happened. And I want to apologize for that. I was going through a rough time in my life. I didn't have no type of education. I was still going to school, but I didn't have nobody to actually teach me in education. They just gave me the book, paper, and just do the work. So I didn't have no job. I had to make do of my own. I had to get out there in the streets. I had to sell drugs. I really had nothing. My mom, she was on drugs. I had nothing in my life. And at that time, I wanted to stand up and say, no, this is not it. But being young and stupid, I went on ahead and did it. But we didn't mean for Miss Jones to die. We really didn't.
So did you know that when you folks had a gun when you did?
Yes, I did. Yes, I knew.
Okay. Why was she killing a gun?
Probably just to scare Miss Jones. Because she never told me she was going to shoot her. That never came up. It never, nobody supposed to have got hurt.
Okay, did you all know the victim?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so whose idea was it to go to Rockland?
Miss Conway's and Miss Finley's, from what was told to me, because they came over to my house, and it got me.
Okay, so they said that this woman had money and drugs in her, or somebody had money and drugs in the apartment.
Yes, that was what was told to me.
According to what we have, there wasn't anyone. We hadn't found any money or any drugs about the time.
Yes, it wasn't no money, no drugs found. That's what made me so disappointed in myself. Even at that time, I was so mad at myself because that woman, she was barely surviving on her own. She had two kids, and she was barely making it on her own, no welfare. That's why I was so upset at myself. Even to this day, I'm still upset. I knew I was wrong.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what you've accomplished since you've been incarcerated. And, you know, you've got some program, and like I said, I know it's difficult sometimes in some yards, especially if you're in any kind of protective custody or lockdown. So we, you know, we understand that at this point in time, it can be hard for you to get any programming until you get to a point of parole eligibility. But tell us what you've done with your programming and just for yourself to make yourself a better person, a better fit for society when and if you're released.
Okay. When I first came down at 18, the officers, they seen something in me because they started bringing high school kids in. They started letting me talk to the high school kids from their own. That's when I knew prison, this wasn't my life. That's when I knew, when I started talking to them kids. And I even had certain kids, they was actually happy I didn't talk to them. I started taking classes. I got me a little diploma in the law degree by completion. I got my GED. I started taking NA classes. After I got my GED, I took basic community college courses. I got a workforce community transition. And I don't drink. I don't smoke. I got the thinking straight. I got an achievement award I've been working on. I've been just leading, talking to other youngsters that's been in here, trying to get them to do right. Because they very educated, and I just talk to them, and I just keep talking. And I don't let up on them until they understand this is not the life. And things happen in here where you're forced to protect yourself in here. And once again, by me doing stupid stuff in here, by trying to protect myself, I end up getting in trouble by having that weapons charge back in 2014.
And what was that about? What kind of weapons did you have?
It was a, I really can't say how long it was, but it was pretty long, about 7-8 inches of a long nail.
sure?
Yes, sir.
And you had that because you were feared that if you didn't have something like that, you would get beat up?
Yes, to tell you the truth, in 2014, it was a lot of fighting going on, and it was between the Black Americans and the Mexican Americans, and I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to get killed, so I had it for my protection. But luckily, nothing happened, and we stayed locked down, and I didn't have to use it, and I prayed every day I didn't.
Well, I'm definitely glad you didn't have to use it either, for two reasons. One is that you're in a position where you feel that some way to protect your life is not a good position to be in. So you didn't have to be put there, and you also didn't use it, which is an extremely serious offense.
Yes, sir.
So all of the fighting and knockdowns and everything that affects your ability to get programming, you understand that. So you've got no programming in what shows in your progress report it seems like. And did you have some classes that you got from outside sources? We see a lot of things come in with correspondence courses, and some of the people that come into the prison on a regular basis and give classes, but they're not actually the DOC class, so they always show up when we get our information out of SIMS. Okay, so, well, that's commendable. It sounds like you worked pretty hard at keeping yourself, clean and growing up. So, you grew up and matured in prison, which is not an easy thing to do. We understand that. And from what I see, you were just barely 17 when all this happened. So when you were almost 18. Of course, 18 is a magical number that they picked out of a hat somewhere. It doesn't always mean that you're mature when you're 18. It just means you have to be responsible for yourself.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, well, you can. I also know that there's a lot of neighborhood that by the time you're 14 or 15, you have to be responsible for yourself, and it's tough. That's why it's always good if somebody that makes the wrong decisions, rather, paying their price for it, realizes that they can help other people not make those bad decisions. That's very commendable, and that's very good, and that would be. Everybody wants to reduce the prison population, and that's the best way to do it, is keep from committing crimes and getting people in there rather than letting out early or not sitting for the problem of crime. So that's commendable. So we're in a situation with your mother, that's, as far as a destination, DOC wants to have a definite destination when you get out, an address that you're going to go to so they can investigate it, or a halfway house. Have you talked to any of the places like Truth on the Street or any of the TLC, any of those places like that to get acceptance when you're released?
Yeah, I wrote a couple of addresses, but two of my letters came back, and that's all I've been doing. I had the addresses to the halfway houses because my family, they ain't got the money to actually get me an apartment. So I just been writing halfway houses to ask them if they willing to accept me there if I was to be released. And I haven't heard any response back.
Okay. Well, yeah, it takes some time. They got a lot of people want to get in there. And you have to be persistent with it. CO3 should be able to help you get more than just a couple of addresses. But send the letters out. We see people come in and they send a whole bunch of letters out. They got a whole bunch of acceptances all at the same time. So they went two or three places in the middle, and other people haven't heard anything by the time they're coming to the front of the board. But that's an extremely important part of any kind of a release plan, is to have an address that you can go to. Generally, after this much time incarcerated, it's a good idea to go to a decent halfway house and partake in some of the programming and stuff there, because it's a heck of a transition. And having been 17 when you were incarcerated, there was a lot of things in the world that you had no idea about or, you know, anything to deal with them at that time. And they've changed so much in the last 25 years that it is a difficult thing for an inmate to be reduced and be able to reintegrate. So the halfway houses and a lot of their programs are very, very good in that respect. And it also, you know, if you can get released and you can go halfway house, you some time to make arrangements for your mother.
Yes, sir.
And you want to laugh. So I'm going to see if any of my fellow workmen have any questions at this time, and we'll go from there. So any questions? Okay. Well, the board has no questions at the time, so I'm going to ask your supporters if they would like to come up and make statements on your behalf. And either one of you first, whichever you want to do it. Just look for the podium and state your name. And
My name is Linda Finley. I love him. He was in my life a good part of his life. We started the journey in the Matthew Pinkins projects in the hood, they called it. It was hard, but they was good kids. I ain't gonna play, they was good kids. I really have too many problems out of them. He started living with me when we moved on 12th Avenue. He started to live with me. He stayed with me for a good while, for me and my child. Tasha is my child. It was all in the same mix. And it really tore me apart because they were good kids. They never went to school now. I never had really no problems. So it really hit me hard when that happened. But that's all I really have to say and tell them I really do love it.
Okay, any questions from the board? Mr. Johnson has a question for you.
Mr. Johnson, you said they all grew up together.
We stayed in the Matthew Hibbard, and Joe stayed in the Matthew Hibbard. I came very close to his mother. They thought we were sisters. That's how close we were. But she went to jail, so I took up the slack. I brought Joe and him in. Him and the brother and his sister. So they stayed with me a good, Joe stayed with me a good while.
Okay.
I sent him to school and stuff like that.
So Tasha?
Is my child.
Okay. So where's Tasha now?
She's in that halfway house. She's doing real good.
Okay. Did she just recently get out?
Recently, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. She don't want to speak to her.
Hi, I'm Isella Easter, and I'm kind of like a cousin to Joe. We grew up together, and as kids, they don't always get in trouble. So if we ever did anything bad or anything, they would get on us real hard. I do feel like he has changed. I do feel like he will be a success when he get out. Given a chance, and I just want to see him home and free and do good, because I do believe in him, and I will also tell him I love him too.
Any questions? Thank you, man. Okay, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
We're nearing the end of your hearing at this time, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Kind of sum up what's going on today. We ask that you don't impeach yourself, and that's just a time management request. And after you've had your final statement, we'll go into a discussion and make a decision, and we'll go from there. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Would you like me to start now?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm, I know you asked me not to repeat myself, but I can never stop saying that I'm truly sorry for what I did to Serena and her family, and tearing my family apart. But to the board members, I have grown since the age of 17. I have grown to be a good man. And I would like to get out and be somebody my family, my friends, and kids they can look up to. I really, I'm not all that educated, but I know I can be a good man and a good leader in this world if I'm given a chance. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay, sir. You know, when we say don't repeat, we don't like to repeat yourself. It's like a lot, you know, live information that's been put on. We have no problems hearing about your remorse for not hearing anything, so we appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board is going to go into discussion now, and we'll be talking amongst ourselves. Stay on the phone. Because we're kind of the early open meeting law, everybody is entitled to listen to our discussions and our decisions. So we just ask you to remain silent while we're in this discussion.
Okay.
Okay. So the board is now in discussion. This is it's an interesting case. I remember one of the faces who went there. I remember the case history from other defendants. I'm impressed with Mr. Jones and his progress, but there was a loose plan that is real iffy right now. And of course, without a definite destination, the DOC has a place to investigate and he would be still incarcerated anyway. And I'd like to, just for the record, see some of the other certificates for the other courses. But because of the release time at this time, that's my big concern. And I would like to see him being involved in a more specific release plan and specifically a place to go, an address, in the halfway houses. And so at this time, I'm not inclined to move to for any type of a release, but recommending him tie up a few museums and then come back before the room. But I'm able to listen to any discussion from any of my board members. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Neal, thank you. I think Mr. Jones is a very sincere young man. I think he is accepts what happened and is truly sorry for what happened, and I think he can be a good man out of the community. I would have the same concern with you. I think if he would have a solid release plan, in a place, a halfway house or whatever, figured out. And I think he had completed some vocational computer tech, construction tech classes, so he starts to have some skill. I think he will be a good candidate at some point for, having that housing, a place to go. I would just, say, even though he could be eligible for a set off, maybe say, come back in 6 months with that plan. And we'll look at it some more. But I think he's very sincere man.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I think that he's very sincere. I think he would be productive out there. There's a problem with his institutional progress report, and whether he has the ability, which DOC has informed us to have 2 months of living expenses to take care of. If he's placed on home arrest, it would be hard for him to be in a a residential treatment of house that he has to pay because he can't do day labor in order to be able to work. So this needs to come up with a plan or program so that if he's released and he hasn't been, and I'm not quite sure, it says that he wanted to reside in the Phoenix area with his mother, that his mother is elderly and lives back east. He wants to move back to Phoenix. So I'm not quite sure, but I would think that if he would work on that, I'd like to see him come back in 6 months and work on his release plan. That's not to say that he would be released in 6 months, but give him the opportunity to know he needs to come up with a better plan, a release plan for him. When he leaves, he does have family or community support here to help him. And, we just need to just tighten that up a little bit. But I do think that he's sincere. I think that in looking at all the information, that he was young when it happened, and even the officers who made the recommendations was just recommend that he get the minimum sentence, which was the 25 years of life sentence that he actually got. But I do think he would be productive if released back out in the community, but it's just a matter of where he would be released to and how. So.
What did you have, Josh? The facilities they got on there? Is it in? Could I call and see?
She can't speak to it, yes, sir.
Can you be placed?
With a discussion.
Well, we're in discussion right now, so, when we come out of discussion, we'll ask more information about what we recommend that we do between now and then put another hearing and everything, okay? Did you have anything to say?
No, this is not only that I agree with my colleagues. I think he's on a good path, but he needs a stronger municipal one. Thank you.
Dr. Wade.
I agree with my colleagues, but I think that the other thing is, as Mr. Johnson indicated, and Mr. Johnson, he had somehow, I don't know how he's going to do it in view of his mother's situation. I know that he has support here, but to come up with those 2 months of on his books, that he has 2 months of on his books, and that's something that he's going to have to work on in addition to his release plan. That's very important as far as the DOC is concerned, and we support DOC on that. He's going to have to have that on his books or somewhere. Otherwise, because we've gotten in trouble in the past by letting them out. We got in trouble, that's the wrong word. We've had some concerns expressed in the past because we let them out and they did not have anywhere to go, and then they're out for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. We've had some out for 2 years, but they're still incarcerated, and so we got to make sure that they have somewhere to go and that they have some resources, and I think that's something that he really needs to work on. Thank you. No guarantees. I always like to point that out. There would be no guarantees. Mr. Johnson pointed it out, and I just want to re-emphasize that. There's no guarantees what will happen the next time, but I think those are some things that we ought to consider, sir. Most honorable, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Okay, well, based on all the information and the discussion that we had at this time, I will move to deny Mr. Jones home arrest or rental program without him discharge at this time.
Second.
Agree. Okay. A lot of the reasons for denial were based on the original offense and everything. And so it was a serious and violent offense and a loss of human life, trauma to the victim. The recent disciplinary infraction still mostly used up there. But the lack of programming is, it's as much the according to Mr. Jones, he's gotten the programming in the annual record of something he has. We didn't see the certificates from this time. And the full release plan. And I would say most of us, so we would be eligible in 6 months to return. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add to that? Okay, Mr. Jones, I'm sure you heard the discussion, the decision, we would vote to deny you parole or home arrest or ethnic discharge at this time. The main reasons are that you don't have a real destination on your release plan. And then I don't know if you understood the discussion about finances. DOC pretty much requires that you have either finances on your books so they can see it, an assurance by family or community that you've got 2 months worth of expenses to be taken care of for you, so you don't end up in half a house and get kicked out of it after the first week because you can't pay the rent. But that can be, so some of the halfway housing stuff actually offer the opportunity for how he will actually give you employment at the halfway house until you get on your feet. So if you make a very concerted effort to find a halfway house, it would be very good. We can't guarantee that you'll get released in the next term. But those two things are tantamount to any approving the release for someone who's been incarcerated long in Utah. So do you understand all that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We are very impressed with your progress and your maturity. I do believe that you have grown to be a mature, responsible adult. I would like to see you get that second chance, get that opportunity to go out into the community and prosper and finish your life with your family, with your mother. But that was very commendable that the two women to help your mother this time out with the family history and everything. I'm sure that's not an easy thing to do. And we appreciate your family support that's here. We also understand there's a financial difficulty. Some families can just go in and take up the slack, but that's what he needs to work on, because we don't want to see him released to get in the street where he's got no way to survive out there. Too many of them go out there and just set up for disaster because they don't have everything in place. So, do you have any questions, Mr. Jones?
My question is basically, I'm being denied because I don't have the finances and to have a place to stay.
Well, it's a place to stay. Some of the halfway houses, you can get approval from them, and when they take you in, they can work you at the house, or they have job opportunities that they can get you into, so that you don't fall on your face, even if you don't have cash up front. But that's what VOC wants to see. If you've got money on your books and you pay rent and everything for 2 months, that's good with them. We've got a halfway house that says they'll take you in and the first 2 months they'll work with you, whatever it takes. That's a big portion of getting a release.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, we understand finances aren't easy, and so that's why there are a lot of options other than just having cash on books that would pay for your rent every day. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, we do wish you the best in the world and the best of the success. You've done very remarkably while you've been in there, and you should be certified for another hearing in approximately 6 months, and we'll probably be coming in front of the same board members, so we wish you luck, and we'll see you when you come back to your next hearing.
So do I need to do anything in order? I mean, I know I understand I need to stay out of trouble, but is there anything else I need to get done?
Well, the certification for your next board hearing is an automatic thing that DOC does. Work on finding a place to live, because you know, we don't want to see you homeless, and I'm sure you don't want to go out on the street homeless.
Yes, sir.
And the DOC, they're not, they're really strict about that. You know, if we say, okay, we're going to grant you home rest, but you don't have a place to live, they really don't want to put you out on the street homeless under these kind of conditions. And we've had people languish incarcerated that we said could be released, but they didn't come up with a place to go. So they stayed in there for quite a while longer before they were actually released, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
Okay.
So, you know, if you can get the addresses of 20 halfway houses, write them a nice letter, and even if you make one letter and copy it, you know, so you don't have to change the wording. But get out there and go for as many as you can, and you know, get as much of that lined up. If you've got certificates for classes, especially ones that weren't actually offered on the DOC docket, get copies of that, send them to us so we can see all of it. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, thank you very much. Thank you for your demeanor, and thank you for your honesty and your acceptance of what happened. And this is when we're hearing, sir.
Okay.
And can you put the CO3 back on the phone?
So.